to gavel in at this time, and I'm calling the meeting to order. This is the State Affairs meeting at 9:13, Tuesday, March 16th. Please turn off any electronic devices should you have any, and it's nice to see everybody here. Let the record reflect that we have with us Senator French, Senator Meyer, myself, Senator Menard, and Senator Passavant. We have Sarah Munson as my able committee aide, as well as Lori Berg and Molly George. So are we ready to go? Good to go? Good. Our agenda this morning, we have two resolutions, House Joint Resolution 24, and also on the agenda is SCR 14. We will begin with HJR 24, Federal School Lunch Program Military, something I know that's very dear to your heart. Representative Ramos, please state your name for the record and your affiliation.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Jay Ramos, Representative District 10. Pleasure to be here before the Senate State Affairs Committee. Madam Chair, Senator Passavant has one of his staffers, Jake, who, other than his bad habit of smoking cigarettes, is just a Boy Scout, and that apple did not fall far from the tree. His dad, Dean, is involved in the school lunch program and has come before the legislature annually to educate us on the benefits of healthy children staying healthy by enjoying the breakfast and lunch program that are offered in our school district. Last year, we took up an interesting issue with Jake's dad, and it is a resolution that has now passed through the House body and is now before your committee. Madam Chair, Senator Passavant and I both represent Fort Wainwright. We've had two active duty deployments in the last 3 years of 4,000 brave young men and women who have been in harm's way. We have a very active military area in Fairbanks, as we do across the whole state. And one little-known facet, Madam Chair, that of our relationship with the military that HJR 24 hopes to bring to light is that some of our military people, it's not all just officers that live off base. Sometimes we have enlisted families that live off base. And the way that we presently do the calculation for reduced breakfast or the free school lunch program takes into account a formula that is your income plus your off-base housing allowance. And sometimes the computation of those two will pop an enlisted family out of the ability to qualify for a free or a reduced lunch program. And so HJR 24 brings this to the attention of the U.S. Congress. We have heard through CSG and NCSL that this is actually a resolution that other states with the same sensitivity toward their relationship with military families are interested in. We think this is an opportunity for Alaska to lead by example, Madam Chair.
Okay, does that conclude your testimony on your sponsor statement, Representative?
I think, Madam Chair, the only thing that I would add to that just as a kind of a poignant data point is I visited Arctic Light Elementary, which is on Fort Wainwright, this resolution obviously doesn't cover because those children come from families that live on post. But ironically, Madam Chair, Arctic Light Elementary, which is on post at Fort Wainwright, is a school that enjoys 100% employment of at least one parent per student by virtue of being on a military base. And Madam Chair, over 90% of the kids that attend Arctic Light Elementary qualify for the free or reduced lunch program, which is indicative of that peculiar relationship that the United States has with its military. We applaud their service, we recognize their service, but we, at the federal level, have had a tendency not to reward that service monetarily. We look for other incentives to keep our military robust. And the same thing is true for those military families that choose to live off post. They can be stressed, and we want those kids well-fed and content and learning in our schools and and competing in our athletic programs and healthy families, you know, contribute to healthy communities. And we especially have empathy for those families that are far away from home that are part of the U.S. military. That concludes my sponsor statement.
Thank you. And we understand and we so appreciate how zealous you have been for lunch programs, and it hasn't gone unnoticed, especially since I dealt on the school board for 12 years and was very aware of the need. So I certainly appreciate this bill coming forward. But at this time, I'd ask my colleagues if they have any questions of Representative Ramos.
I'd just make the comment that
Senator Pasven.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, this is just part of the problem of way too many kids are going to school and they're hungry, and that this will just aid one part of that segment of kids that are hungry going to school. And so I support this.
Thank you. Okay, at this time we'll open up to public testimony. Is there anyone online that would like to speak to this? Okay, thank you. Okay, we have Dean Hamburg. Dean, are you online? Could you state your name for purpose of the record here and your affiliation from Soldotna?
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to share comments in support of HAR 24. My name is Dean Hamburg. I serve as administrator for the 38 USDA school meal program, serving students in the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. I also serve as public policy and legislative chair for the Alaska School Nutrition Association. I'm also a veteran of the United States Navy Submarine Service with an appreciation for the needs of Alaska military families.
Sounds like we have an expert online. Continue, please.
Annually, the USDA supplies Alaska students with support for almost 10 million school meals each school year. Many of those students receiving free and reduced price meals include children of military families. To qualify for free or reduced price meals, a family must meet the criteria of income versus family size as established by Congress and the USDA. At present, funding allowances provided to military families to support off-base housing must be counted as income when that military family applies for free or reduced priced USDA school meals. This requirement to report housing income sometimes disqualifies military families from the benefit provided through USDA school breakfast and school lunch programs. Eliminating the requirement to report a housing allowance as income when applying for free or reduced priced meals would be an appropriate and meaningful support to our Alaska military families. As Congress is currently working through a reauthorization of the National School Lunch Act, HJR 24 serves as an appropriate message of support for change in current application criteria for this federal benefit. Sponsors of the USDA school meal programs in Fairbanks, Anchorage, the Kenai, and all across Alaska are ready and eager to serve all children of military families. Again, thank you for your very kind consideration of the Alaska military families as represented in HDR 24.
And thank you for taking time out of your day, Dean, to testify. Do members at the table have any questions? Okay, next we'll move to Amy from the Fairbanks School District, Rouse, or is it?
That is correct.
Okay, would you state your name, though, for the record, please?
Ma'am, good morning. My name is Amy Rouse, and I am the Director of Nutrition Services with the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District. Military families, as we've been discussing, receive housing allowance known as BAH. Since the military has chosen to privatize base and post housing, all families now receive BAH. According to USDA guidance, if the family lives on Fort Wainwright, Eielson Air Force Base, or any other military installation, we exclude BAH from the income figure because their housing is covered by the Military Housing Privatization Initiative. If the family lives in the private housing market, either by renting or buying a home, we are required to include it in the income calculation. For many families, this makes the difference between approval and denial of meal benefits. We explain the Military Housing Privatization Initiative and how we are required to count BAH as income. However, this doesn't help the families understand why someone at their same rank qualifies for meal benefits and they don't. I would like to share a conversation that is indicative. I had a mother call asking why her children were denied meal benefits. Her friend's children were receiving free meal benefits, and since their husbands were the same exact rank and received the same pay and the same BAH, she didn't understand why her children were not receiving meal benefits. My first question to her was about where she and her friend lived. She told me her friend lived on Fort Wainwright and they lived in Fairbanks. I had to explain to her the privatization initiative and the required inclusion of her family's BAH as income, but not her friend's. She stated to me that this was extremely unfair and that there was not post-housing available when they moved here. I couldn't disagree with her. This conversation is representative of many we have had in our office. Our military is a significant portion of our community, and often we have to field questions about why children in one family qualify and others don't. We are expected to treat everyone fairly, and when I explain this, many have responded regarding the unfairness, and almost all feel they are being punished for living in the private housing market. Part of my job is to equitably enforce the rules and regulations set forth by USDA. However, I have a hard time explaining this to parents when I agree with them. We need to treat everyone the same, count the income the same, regardless of where the family resides, whether it's on a military installation or in the private housing market. I would like to thank Representative Ramos for putting forth the resolution and respectfully request you endorse it. Thank you for the opportunity to address you today.
Thank you, Amy, for taking time and your knowledgeable testimony. We appreciate that. And at this time, I'm not seeing anyone else at a sign-up. I will open it up to the room. Is there anyone that would like to come forward for testimony? Seeing none, do any of my members have any questions? Okay. I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony and ask, what is the will of the committee on this bill? Do I hear a motion to pass out HJR 24 for committee with individual recommendations?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move House Joint Resolution 24 from committee with individual recommendations and the attached zero fiscal note.
Okay. Do I hear any objections? Hearing none, HJR 24 moves out of state affairs to Senate rules, and we'll take a brief at ease to sign the bill.
Thank you.
We're going to welcome Senator Egan. Hello, Dennis. The next bill on our agenda is Senate Concurrent Resolution 14, Filipino American History Month. This bill is sponsored by Senator Dennis Egan. Would you like your staff to come forward with you?
Yes, I'd like Alita Buss and my staff to come forward, Madam Chair, as well.
Okay, would you state your name for the record, please, and your affiliation as well as your staff?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Senator Dennis Egan, representing District B, and my staff, Alita Buss. And I want to thank you and your committee for hearing Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 14. This bill dedicates October 2010 as Filipino American History Month. Filipinos have a rich history and culture in the state of Alaska. The first recorded Filipino in Alaska came aboard a ship from the Philippines in 1788. In early Alaska history, Filipinos worked on whaling ships, in the Alaska Juneau gold mine and Treadwell mine here in Juneau, and various canneries throughout Alaska. The Filipino American community now is the largest Asian American group in the state of Alaska, with 18,000 people. We have had strong Filipino leadership in our state. The Alaska legislature had the first Filipino American female legislator in the nation. Thelma Buchholz served in the House of Representatives from 1974 to 1982, including a term as Vice Chair of the House Finance Committee. Thelma came to Alaska from the Philippines in 1951. She became a leader in her hometown of Anchorage, serving in various community service roles and public offices. Thelma became something of an expert in Filipino history. She produced a 30-minute documentary film on the subject and wrote a 200-page book, Filipinos in Alaska, 1788 through 1958. And I encourage anyone that is interested in learning more about the Filipino communities to explore these resources. The intention of this resolution is to celebrate and honor the history of the Filipino community in our state. And thank you, Madam Chair, and I would urge your support of Senate Concurrent Resolution 14. And I apologize, it's Finance Committee all the time.
It's the Finance Committee, Trump, this committee. Right. Oh, I can understand that.
It was a good excuse to get out, though.
Senator Egan, do I have any questions from my colleagues here of Senator Egan? Is October 2010 a celebration for anything else that you're aware of? Did it pay tribute to, of course, we know we have Halloween, but.
And we have Alaska Day.
Yes.
On October 18th.
So it will join ranks with Alaska Day, how appropriate. Okay, I'm going to go ahead then if there's no question, and we'll go ahead and open public testimony. And we have online, you're welcome to just sit there if you're comfortable. This shouldn't take, we're going to go through four people that are going to give testimony. Ellery Lumba, could you come up, please? Okay. And these are people that are here, so I guess you would have to. So sorry. Could you state your name, please, and your affiliation for the record?
My name is Ellery Lumbab. I originally came from the Catbalogan province of Samar, Philippines. I'm here representing my family, particularly my father. He is 88 years old now, who fought with American soldiers against the Japanese during the World War II. My family consists of my mom and dad and their 15 children, plus their spouses, and 62 grandchildren. With the grace of God and the bounty of this great nation, we are still happy. We are all living and still happy and content. I am also the artistic director of the Alitaptap Philippine Folkloric Group of the Filipino Community Incorporated in Juneau, Alaska. The Filipino Community Incorporated is the oldest organized Filipino community in the state of Alaska. Filipinos have contributed a great deal to the state of Alaska, from working as laborers in the fish canneries, in the gold mines, in retail and food sale businesses, and helped to build Alaska's economy since 1788. The earliest documented proof of Filipino presence in Alaska. Today, there are Filipino teachers, bankers, restaurant owners, doctors, and nurses, and involved in almost every facet of Alaska's history, Alaska's society. The Filipino art and culture hold great significance to me, and it is important that our original customs and traditions not be lost among younger generations of Filipino Americans living here in Alaska. I am grateful that the Alaska legislature is willing to recognize our Filipino history and contributions. I urge your favorable support of SCR 14. Thank you.
Thank you for your wonderful testimony. We appreciate that. Next, we'll have Rafael Castanos? Castanos. I've got to get my Spanish and Filipino down, I guess. Go ahead and state your name, please, sir.
My name is Rafael Castanos. I'm from the Philippines. I was born in Manila, and I came over here because I was part of the Philippine Revolution of 1986 when we kicked out Marcos. I was one of the student leaders that was demonstrating in the streets. But fortunately, The president at that time, Marcos, could not touch me because we belong to the same fraternity at the university, because I'm a graduate of the University of the Philippines. Now, this particular project, this joint resolution, this came about, Madam Chairman, sometime on November of 2009, when our president, by the name of Gene Strickler, mentioned to me that, Rafi, I just attended the Filipino-American Historical Society in Anchorage, and this is one of their projects. So I said, I think the best thing that we could do is I'll approach some of my friends in the legislature to explore the possibility if, shall we say, they could come up with this resolution declaring Filipino-American History Month to be celebrated October of each year. Because when I was reading the Pilipinas magazine, it's the biggest magazine of the Filipinos here in America, because there are now 4 million Filipinos in the entire United States.
I was going to ask that question.
They were able to obtain a joint resolution from the U.S. Congress declaring the Filipino-American Historical Month for October because of the role that the Filipinos have come in. And as I speak to you now, to the committee, I was able to obtain also a joint resolution from the City Bureau of Juneau declaring Filipino-American History Month to be celebrated every October. So I hope that the committee could more or less give some consideration, considering the role that we have played on this this particular historical event itself.
And thank you for your historical testimony. We appreciate that. Okay, thank you. Are there any questions? Okay, I will go ahead then to Date Reese from Ancon, maybe? No, would you come forward, please? I think I murdered your name, so would you state your name? Could you state your name, please, for the record and your affiliation?
Good morning. My name is Dante Reyes. And my family moved here to Juneau, Alaska from the Philippines in 1996, and ever since I haven't left Juneau, stayed here and enjoyed the scenery and the place. And my first impression when I arrived here in Juneau was, were there any Filipinos or organizations here? Are they celebrating the traditions and customs in the Philippines? Because some Filipinos are missing those traditions and customs when they were in out of the country, out of the Philippines. So, and I found out that they were doing that as I was expecting them to be. And I found out that there was a Filipino organization, a very organized Filipino organization here in Juneau, which is the Filipino Community Inc. And they have programs. And actually part of the institution was to promote a brotherhood, promote cultures and traditions of the Filipino cultures. And every year, we are celebrating the history of some Filipino traditions that we are also celebrating in the Philippines. So we have here, as part of the July celebration, we participated, and we have this Ati-Atihan group, which is, I think, a very popular part of the program. And if this resolution passes, and I hope that it passed, then we are planning as a Filipino group or Filipino association here in Juneau to celebrate the full month of October to present varied cultures of the Philippines and maybe present some shows, culturals, dances, and other traditions to show to the community of Juneau, not only to the community of Juneau, but to the whole of Alaska. And I thank you very much for having me to testify my observations here, and I hope that this resolution will be passed. Thank you.
And our thank you goes back to you, too. Thank you so much for your testimony. Arlene Lumba, could you come? Good morning to you. Take a seat, please, and state your name and affiliation for the record.
My name is Arlene Lomba, and I serve on the board of directors of the Filipino Community, Inc. And I'm one of the siblings. Ellery is my brother.
Okay.
So, but anyway, originally I come from one of the islands in central Philippines, and it's called Samar Island. And mid-'80s, I moved to, I came to the United States via California, and I've lived there for so many years, and 3 years ago I was invited by my brother to relocate, to live here in Juneau, and so far I love it, especially the beauty of the city and the entire state. But anyway, SCR 14 is indeed an honor to all Filipinos throughout the state of Alaska. And we have a special appreciation of its significance here in Juneau. The Filipino Community, Inc. is the oldest organized Filipino organization in the state since it was incorporated in 1956. And many of the founding families of our organization still reside in Juneau today. It's been said that Filipinos are the second largest ethnic group in Alaska, second only to the native, the Alaska Natives. We are thrilled that the Alaska Legislature is giving consideration to Filipinos and their contributions to the state, and we accept this recognition with respect and honor. And thank you, and I urge your support to pass SCR 14.
Thank you, Arlene. Are there any questions? Okay, seeing none. I'm not showing anyone else that has come forward to sign up to give testimony, and there's no one online, I guess. So I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. And is there discussion from my committee members?
Just, Madam Chair,
my comment? Okay, Senator Meyer.
My staff said I needed to vote for this. Christina Marsagan.
Oh, that's nice.
Who's very active in the Filipino community. No, this is a very good bill. I want to thank you.
And we did make note that all committee members at this table have signed on as a co-sponsor for this Senate concurrent resolution. So, but we still are doing a proper process. So what is the will of the committee on this bill? Senator Meyer.
Madam Chair, with honor, I'd like to move that we move SCR 14 from committee with individual recommendations and a zero fiscal note.
Thank you. Do I hear any objections? Hearing none, then Senate Concurrent Resolution 14 moves out of state affairs to Senate rules, and we are now adjourned. Thank you.